So last week we began to explore the Igeres HaRamban, the Ramban's famous letter to his son Nachman, which was sent all the way from Eretz Yisrael to Spain. And we pointed out that the essence of the letter, one of the main messages he's trying to convey to his son in the letter, is humility. Last week we spoke about the importance of speaking gently to people, being a person who understands other people. And we also pointed out last week that the first time this letter was actually printed was in Venice in the 1500s, as part of the Sefer Reishis Chachma, and when it was printed in the Shar Ha'anava, in the Gate of Humility. So tonight I want to try to explore the aspects and themes of Gaiva and Anava, as presented in the Ramban's letter, and we have to do a little bit of reading inside. Okay, so we'll begin by just reading from the letter itself, get a sense of the message that the Ramban is trying to convey. Again, last week we began the letter. The letter begins Shema Bini Musar Avicha, Al Titos Trasimecha. We spoke about a father's love and a mother's love, and perhaps the difference between the two, and how a person who speaks gently will save himself from getting angry, and anger is such a terribly destructive midah. And that's what we spoke about last time. So now we continue the letter. What happens once I've conquered anger? Anger, there's a corollary to anger. There's another midah that always goes side by side with the midah of anger. And that's what the Ramban describes in the continuation of the letter. V'kasher tinotzel men hakas. When you talk to people gently, and you become a sensitive person, and you understand that I'm not going to win anyone over by yelling at them, I'll win people over by being positive and speaking gently to them. And now I've lost that edge that makes me angry sometimes. Kasher tinotzel min hakas, when you've conquered anger, tala alibcha midas anava. Immediately thereafter will come the midah of anava, the midah of humility, the character trait of humility. Shehi midah tova mikol midos tovos, because that is the greatest of all of the midos tovos, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight, why that is. Why is it that humility, why is anava the ultimate midah? And I think we'll make a very compelling case for it. Shenemar ekev anava yiras Hashem. Because through anava comes yiras Hashem. And the Ramban is really setting up almost a ladder for us. The way the Mesilas Yesharim describes a certain hierarchy, certainly based on a Gemara and a Avodah Zarah, but a series of rungs to climb in one's godliness, in one's ruchnias. So too, the Ramban is also setting up such a structure for us. Right? Talk gently to people, and that will help you conquer anger. When you conquer anger, then you'll become a person of humility. And when you're a humble person, you'll stand before God with fear and with awe. So the Ramban is setting the stage for us. Uva'avur ha'anava tala alibcha midas hayira. And again, through that character trait of humility, a person will come to awe, to fear of God. Ki sitein alibcha tame, because he'll constantly reflect upon the fact, me'ayin basa ulana taholech v'sha'ata rima v'soleya b'chayecha v'af ki b'mosach. Paraphrasing the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when a person realizes that he's not anything on his own, that ein od milvado, that there is only God, and therefore what right do I have to get angry? What right do I have to be haughty? What right do I have to be frustrated? Why do I assume that certain things are coming my way? Why do I feel that I have a right to speak to another person that way? When a person recognizes that, he'll be filled with an unbelievable sense of yira, of yira shamayim, and he'll think about me'ayin basta, where did I come from? Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Right, beginning of the third parak. Where do I come from? Lana taholech, where am I going? We had a Pirkei Avos here on this last year. And then he paraphrases the third phrase. The third phrase is that in the end you're going to become nothing but worms and maggots. But he says it different. The Ramban says, V'sha'ata rima v'soleya b'chayecha v'af ki b'mosach. You're not even so great even when you're alive. All the more so when you're dead. The Mishnah just says, realize that you come from a drop of seed. So as big and as great and as important as you are, you started off as a little putrid drop, a tipa srucha in the language of the Mishnah. And realize, la'ana taholech, realize that you're going to have to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in judgment one day. Right? And then the Ramban says, and realize, not like the Mishnah says, that eventually you're going back to the dirt. Even when we're alive, man was made from dirt. That's the bottom line. Adam HaRishon was formed from dirt. Rav Hirsch, for the ladies in the room, Rav Hirsch says, one of the great advantages of women over men is that a woman was created from a human being. And man was made from dirt. And that's something that I think we're still struggling with, many of us, that women are a little bit more human than men end up all too often in the dirt. Right? But the Ramban is saying, even when you're alive, let's not kid ourselves. You know, I remember my brother showed me a video, like when YouTube first started. You know, there was like a video of a person and it just kept zooming out. There's a kid's book like that at home I have. It's called Zoom. It's a great book. Right? You're like, you think you're saying something and it zooms out and then it's something else. But there was a video of this where it showed a person, a male sitting on the beach, and it zoomed out, 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 right? And you start to recognize just how infinitesimally small we are. So what right do I have? You know, I'm in my office, I'm closing a big deal, and I'm getting heated, and I'm getting frustrated, and things aren't... Then just like zoom out, like look at yourself from above. And then the video zooms all the way in, right, to the person, and then beneath the surface, into his skin, and into his bloodstream, right, and into his DNA. And it's remarkably complex, right? But all of that should fill us with an unbelievable sense of trembling, of awe. Again, you're constantly thinking, where did I come from? Where am I going? Right? And again, it's not supposed to make us feel lowly in the sense that I have no confidence and that I'm depressed. It's supposed to allow me to walk through life with humility and to be respectful of others and to have a healthy sense of self and not to have an inflated ego, right? Like the matzah that we're so, like the chametz that we work so hard to get rid of on Pesach, and hopefully that carries over through the entire year. Rishon hu lachem l'chad she'ashana. Nisan sets the tone for the year, counting the calendar month, calendar year from Nisan. And who you're going to have to stand before in judgment one day, he quotes the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, that the heavens and all of the heavens, right, what we call heavens and the heavens beyond that, none of it can contain you, Hashem. Afki libos b'nei adam, all the more so the hearts of man. He quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah, halo es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz ani maleinu m'Hashem. Hashem says, I fill all of reality. And again, therefore, you have no right to try to make too much space for yourself in this world. Because again, Hashem says, I'm the only one who fills all of reality. When you think about all of this, continues the Ramban, you'll become God-fearing and you won't do averos. Because right? You'll realize again, who am I to God forbid, rebel against an infinite God? And a person becomes genuinely happy. I always like to point out, Sameach b'chalko is often translated as satisfied with your lot. That's not what the words mean. Satisfied means like, it's fine, I'll make it work. Sameach b'chalko means you're happy, you're genuinely happy. I don't want anything else. I don't want someone else's house, I don't want their spouse, I don't want their job, I don't want their kids, I don't want anything. I love what I have because that's what Hashem wants me to have. V'kesher tisnag b'midas ha'anava lizbosheish mikol adam. And when I walk humbly before all people, when I look at everyone else and I feel humbled by them, because they have something that I don't have. That's always going to be the reality. That everyone's going to have something that I don't have. And therefore, wow, they're unique in a certain area. Rav Tzadok Kohen of Lublin, I quoted often, Rav Tzadok has a fascinating question. He says, by Kabbalah Satorah, the Gemara says the angels came down and placed crowns on everyone's head. Everyone got two crowns. A crown for Nasa and a crown for Nishma. So Rav Tzadok Kohen of Lublin asks, if everyone's wearing a crown, so who's the king? The whole point of the crown is that the crown distinguishes one individual. The king, the queen, the prince, the princess, well, you know, it's not for everyone. It becomes cheapened if it's given to everyone. So Rav Tzadok says, no, because every Jew is a crown, every Jew is a king, every Jew is the best in something. Right? There's a certain aspect of Torah that each one of us has that no one else in the room has, and that the Gedolei Ador didn't have, and that the Vilna Gaon didn't have, and that the Chafetz Chaim didn't have, and that the Raga Trevor Gaon didn't have. Right? There's a chelek in tefillah that every one of us has that the greatest daveners of all time don't have, because everyone has the unique chelek, and that's your crown, so to speak. So when a person reflects on this, he stands humbly before all other people. He's able to look at another person and feel small compared to that person. There's an amazing insight from Rav Gifter. He says, the pupil of the eye is called an ishon. Why do we call the pupil of an eye an ishon? Aleph, yud, shin, vav, nun. Right? The ishon bat ayin. Ishon bas ayin. The pupil of the eye. So whenever you have a vav, nun in the Torah, the Radak writes in Tehillim, that vav, nun always means a miniature version of something. Right? Shabbos, Shabbaton. Vav Nun always implies a miniature version of something. And there's many examples of that in Tanakh. Right? So the Ishon means a miniature person. Ish, Vav Nun, a small person. Why is the pupil called a small person? Because when I look at myself, I look at my reflection in someone else's eyes, what do I see? I see when I'm looking someone in the eye, when I'm really looking at them, I'm listening to them, looking them in the eye, I see a reflection, a miniature version of myself in their eyes. And that, Rav Gifter said, is to remind us that when I'm talking to someone else, I see the big version of them, and I see a small version of me. That's what the Ramban is saying here. One of the tzaddikim said, I think one of the Gera Rebbe said, the reason that your heart is more on the left side of your body than the right side of your body, when the right side is always favored, the right side is always given chashivas in halach, you would think your most critical organ, arguably your brain, your heart, you would think it would be positioned to the right. But the tzaddikim explained, my heart's on the left because my heart is on your right. My heart's for you. My heart's not for me. To be able to see myself with that degree of humility is what the Ramban is describing here. Again, to stand in fear of sin and to be humbled before people. And then a person is actually getting somewhere in life and will be zochet to great things, lost in love. Va'ata b'ni, and he turns to his son and he says, my dear son, da ure'e, know and see, ki amiska b'libo al abrios moridu b'malchus shemayim. You think I'm telling you that when you act haughty, you're rebelling against God? You're not only rebelling against, you think you're taking advantage of another human being? You're not only taking advantage of another human being, you're morid b'malchus. Morid b'malchus, that means that you've attacked the king. You've tried to dethrone the king. You've stolen the crown. Why? Because you've girded yourself, you're wearing a garment that doesn't belong to you. Like we say every Friday night in Kabbalah Shabbos, Hashem Malach, Hashem is the king, Geus Lavesh. He wears the garment of Geus, of Gaiva. Only Hashem can glorify himself. A person can't do that. It's wrong on a Ben Adam L'Chavera level, and it's wrong on a Ben Adam L'Makom level. And the Ramban says, what's there to be so haughty about anyways? In Be'osher, you'll say, well, I'm very rich. I worked hard, I made a lot of money. Hashem Morish Umashir. It says in Shmuel Aleph, God makes poor and God makes rich. In Bekavod, if you say, well, I get a lot of honor, so it's hard for me to not be a Baal Gaiva. Halo lelo kimhu. Honor, that's not for you. Ba'osher va'kavod milfanecha, it's for Hashem. Ve'ech mispar bechod kono. So what right do you have to take the honor of Hashem? You're stealing from the king. You're stealing his scepter, you're stealing his crown. Ve'mispar bechachma. Let's say a person says, well, I'm a genius. You know, it's hard for me to be humble when I know that I'm smarter than everyone else. Says the pasuk in Eov, Meisir safa lina emanim v'tam zekenim yikach. In a second, Kadosh Baruch Hu could take it away. All of that pride and all of that wisdom and all of that, in a second, Rachmana Letzlan, Kadosh Baruch Hu can make you senile. Nimsa kol shava lifnei amakom. When we look at things through Hashem's glasses, kaviyachol, through Hashem's eyes, everything is equal. The playing field is leveled. Ki ba'apo mashpil gayim, in Hashem's anger, so to speak, He humbles those who are haughty, uvirtzono magbiya shefalim. And in His desire, He lifts up those who are humbled, those who are lowly in spirit. Lachain hashpil atzmacha v'inasacha hamakom. Lower yourself and let God lift you up. Don't try to lift yourself up. Lower yourself, act with humility, and Hashem will lift you up. Just a little more in the letter, and again, then we'll be able to expound upon it. Let me teach you how to be humble. What does a humble person look like? That you should be able to do it all the time. A humble person speaks kindly to others. And a humble person, his head is a bit lowered. He doesn't walk around with an outstretched neck. We'll talk about that. And while your eyes are cast downward, right? A person is within his own dalet amos, not always looking around. But your heart is soaring on high. I love that line. Right? Then in terms of my vision, I'm not all over the place. I'm very much comfortable within myself. Right? I'm able to contain myself in a reserved type of way, in an appropriate reserved type of way. But my heart is on high. Internally, I could be the greatest Jew in the world. No one's telling you like to sell yourself short. But in terms of my public appearance, I try to look normal. I try to fit in. In a proper way. And I don't look someone in the face when I'm speaking to them, because again, I'm humbled before them. And again, it's not false humility. These are real character traits of a humble person. Again, when you see that little miniature version of yourself in someone else's eyes, every single person should be bigger than you in your eyes, because they are bigger than you in a certain aspect of their life. If he's rich, right? Again, if you're rich, it doesn't mean anything. If you're honored, if you're smart, it doesn't mean anything. If someone else is smart, have respect for them. Hashem has given them a gift. Right? That much you're allowed to acknowledge. V'im rashu, and if he's poor, v'ata asher chacham imenu, and it's harder to see him in the right light because I'm smarter than him, because I'm more wealthy than him. Chashov b'livcha ki ata chayev mimenu, v'huzakai mimcha. Just realize, because of all the gifts God has given you, the expectations for you are a lot more. Right? Hashem has given you a lot of money, which is very nice, but that means Hashem is going to be scrutinizing your tzedakah donations much more than the other guy. If he does averas, he says, God, I couldn't help it. I was poor. I wasn't smart. I didn't know. And he'll get away with it. But you were smarter. You should have known better. You were wealthier. You should have spent your money better. So realize, he's in better shape in God's eyes, in theory, than you are. And lastly, he says, again, there's not the conclusion of the letter, but our conclusion for tonight. In all of your actions, in all of your speech, in all of your thoughts, and at all times, chashov b'livcha ki'ilu ata omid lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'shchinasu alecha. Picture myself standing before Hashem. Just zoom out. Look at yourself from a bird's eye view. Ki kvodo mali olam, because Hashem's glory and honor fills all of reality. U'divarecha yu be'emo u'v'yira ke'eved lefnei rabo. And to realize that the words coming out of my mouth, wherever I might find myself, in my office, in my home, or in the streets, or in the base medrash, I'm standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's listening to my words. And therefore I need to speak like a servant before his master. V'tisbayish mikol adam, and be humbled before all people. V'im yikracha ish al ta'aneu b'kol ram, if someone calls out to you, respond in a gentle voice. Rak b'nachas ka'omid lefnei rabo. Adkan, the letter for tonight. Okay. I want to focus on the first two little points that he makes. Again, thematically it's one major point, but I want to try to dissect a little bit that first comment that I mentioned before, when he says that anava is the midah tova mikol midos tovos. The greatest midah of all is the midah of anava. Before I came here tonight, I was teaching at Heichal Torah, and I asked the boys, I said, tell me, what would you say is the ultimate midah? A lot of different character traits. Happiness is a character trait. Being generous is a character trait. Being humble is a character trait. Yeah, there's lots of different traits that a person has. What trait would you say impacts the others the most? And believe it or not, after thinking about it for a while and discussing it, they said gaiva. They said being a bal gaiva is the most self-destructive thing, and being a humble person, the way they phrase it, being open to other people's opinions, is really the finest trait. And that's what the Ramban says here, that the midah tova mikol midos tovos, the greatest midah of all, is the midah of humility. And the question is, why is that so? And we agree to that. Right? Hopefully we'll agree, but let's see. Let's discuss it. This past Sunday was the yahrzeit of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher. Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, one of the great Rishonim, one of the great halachic poskim, one of the great deciders of Psach Halacha from the Gemara. When the Shulchan Aruch was being written, Rav Yosef Karo looked at three major Rishonim to come up with a Psach Halacha. The Rambam, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. The Rif and the Rambam almost always agree, which means that the cards are stacked in that direction. That's why the Ramah is so busy adding his notes to the Shulchan Aruch, because he said, well, in Ashkenaz, we don't do like that. The Rosh was born in Ashkenaz, he was born in Germany, and he died in Spain. He lived in the 1200s. So the Rosh is best known for flipping to the back of the Gemara and giving you a synopsis of the Gemara and telling you what he thinks the Halach is. He quotes the Baal Yatosos, he quotes, he collects from different things, he gives you his own opinion. Right? And then, of course, that became his son, the Tur, became the Arbiturim. And then from there, the Shulchan Aruch was written. So we're talking about a very major halachic mind. And yet, the Rosh, again, whose yahrzeit was the 9th of Marcheshvan, this past Sunday, the Rosh also wrote a Musar volume called Orchos Chaim Laharosh. It's studied in more Musar types of yeshivas. It's very simplistic in terms of the language, but if you actually work on the things he's talking about, it's a very demanding sefer. And you open up the Orchos Chaim of the Rosh. The Rosh is trying to give you, he has a title, he says, Ve'eilah dvarim shizar behem lesur mimokshe mavis v'le'or borachayim. If you want to escape death, spiritual death, and you want to bask in the light of real living, you need to work on these midos. What's the first thing the Rosh says? He's got a whole book here, and it's broken up according to the days over here, so if you want to say a few of them every day and to think of them and to work on them, and there are many yeshivas that did that. What's the Rosh could start with anything he wants. He could start his ethical treatise with anything that he wants. Does he say be happy? Does he say be generous? Does he say be humble? What does he say? He opens up and he says, number one, Aleph, Le'esrachek min ha-gaiva b'tachlis harichuk. Distance yourself from gaiva b'tachlis harichuk. Distance yourself to the utmost extreme. Gaiva is the single most destructive force in the world. Think about it. Which nation is the embodiment of gaiva? A Malik. A Malik is always the one who has the audacity to start up and to test, to push the limits. A malik attack, we'll come back to it in a few minutes, but just to start thinking about it. A malik is the one who attacks us when we just left Mitzrayim and crossed the Yam Suf. A malik is the one who produces a Haman who thinks with his diabolical plot that he can destroy God's people. A malik really knows how to believe in themselves in the most haughty of ways. So in this edition of the Orchos Chaim with the Rosh that I have here, there's a comment from Rav Yecheskel Levenstein, who was a great mashkiach of Mir and Panovich. And he writes, this is based on the notes of his students, he says, HaRosh Pasach as HaRosav L'Yisrachik Min HaGaiva B'Tachlis HaRichuk. The Rosh opens up his work of everything that we can work on to be better Jews. He says, don't be a Baal Gaiva. Don't be a Baal Gaiva. Ki Midas HaGaiva, says Rav Chatzkel, Ki Midas HaGaiva Hi HaYesod V'Shoresh L'Chol HaMidos Raos. The Baal Gaiva is the root of any negative Midah that you're going to have. If you speak Lashon Hara, it's because you're a Baal Gaiva. Right? If you're a person who gets angry, it's because you're a Baal Gaiva. If you don't feel like I want to give tzedakah to this guy because I'm better than this guy, it's because you're a Baal Gaiva. And it generates so many poisonous character traits. Vayidei shviras midas hagaiva, says Rav Chatzkel, if you break that midah, zochim lechol hamidos tovos. You're zochet to all the... That's what the Ramban said. You get, if you can conquer this midah, you'll be zochet to all of the good midos in the world. Ki begaiva shi avi avos hatuma, klulim kol hamidos harois v'mushchasos. Because in, contained within gaiva, gaiva is an umbrella for all the negative character traits in the world. V'alkein yesh l'sirachik mimena b'tachles harichuk. And therefore you need to distance yourself from it entirely. And then he adds an important note from Simcha Zisel of Kelm, the altar of Kelm. The altar of Kelm said, just like when a person is learning Hilchos Trefos, you're learning what are the signs of a kosher animal and not kosher animal, right? What are the types of illnesses that would make an animal a trefa, not viable to live, even if I shechted it, it wouldn't be fit to be eaten, right? A person could be learning Hilchos Trefos. However, mikol makom, im lo yira hareya, but if you never saw the lungs, if you never cut open the animal, right? You could be reading a Shulchan Aruch and this is a trefa and that's a trefa. You're learning all about it, but if you've never held it in your hand, if you never saw what a puncture in the lung looks like, v'shar ha'evarim lo yo'el limuto, then all the study in the world, until you see the real thing, you don't know what it is. Until you've held it in your hands, until you've examined it up close, all the talk about it is very cheap. Kein alomid otos trefos leiv ha'adam. Says the Altar of Kelm, the same thing is true when it comes to what? When it comes to the illnesses of the man, the heart of man. Hagaiva, for example. Umarbelis ora begnusa. You could talk all day how bad gaiva is, but until you really dig into your heart and hold it in your hand and check yourself out, right, you're not really going to change. But again, the first step to changing, obviously, is to talk about these things and to learn about these things. And Rav Chatzkel is emphasizing, and the Rosh chose to start his sefer this way, to start dafka with the inyan of gaiva, because it's the shoresh of all midos ra'os. The Rambam famously wrote in Hilchos Deos that there are two character traits which is good to be extreme about. The Rambam says there are two character traits that have to be, there's no middle path. The Rambam, who is always about the middle path, there's two character traits that Jews are expected to be extreme about because they're so poisonous. And they are gova lev, a haughty heart, and kas, and anger. And those two are related, again, as we've been explaining from the Ramban. But he says, when it comes to these things, yesh deos she'asar lo la'adam linog behen beinonis. There's no middle path. El yisrachek min ha'kotza ha'echad al ha'kotza ha'acher. Exactly like the Rosh wrote. Just like Rabbeinu Asher wrote. B'tachlis harichol. Go to the extreme to get away from it. Because it's mamish poisonous. And it has so many other illnesses that come along with it. The Rebbe of Kamarna, the Kamarna Rebbe, in his sefer on Pirkei Avos, it's called Notzer Chesed, says a very fascinating thing. We know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us in the fourth perek, Rav Levitas Ish Yavna Omer, Ma'od Ma'od Heve Shval Ruach. Be very, very, very humble. Shetikvas Enosh Rima, because the end of man is back to the maggots. That's where we're all heading, no matter how smart you are, no matter how successful you are, no matter how happy you are, no matter how healthy and strong you are. The end is the same for everyone. It doesn't matter. You see people who were once, you know, appreciated for their body in a certain way or held a certain position in the world, they struggle with this terribly. Athletes and musicians and movie stars, when they're past their prime and they're still, just give it up already, you know, and you're still, Rolling Stones are still touring and they're like in wheelchairs and they're just trying to hang on to something that once was and it's not anymore, right? Or the athlete who's, you know, who just doesn't have it anymore and he can't give up the game, right? Because it's hard for a human being to accept this reality. That tikvas enosh rima, at the end of all of us, no matter how wealthy, no matter how smart, no matter how successful, we all end up in the same place. And that should cause us to be ma'od, ma'od shval ruach, to walk with tremendous humility. But the Kamarna Rebbe, again, the commentary is called Notzer Chesed, he says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, if you've ever learned Maseches Avodah Zarah, it doesn't have that many prakim in it. But the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, it has five prakim. Our Maseches Avodah Zarah has five prakim. But if you look, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Daf Yadal, it says that Avram Avinu's Maseches Avodah Zarah had 400 prakim. So I would say the Pashup Shad is, yeah, because in Avram's time, people were idol worshippers. There was what to write about. So Avram Avinu's Maseches Avodah Zarah, there was a lot more to talk about. Nowadays, idolatry in the classic sense is not so popular. But the Rebbe of Kamarna says it's just as popular. What does it mean? What does it mean that the Maseches Avodah Zarah of Avram Avinu had 400 chapters? So he writes as follows. Ki inyan gaiva hu mamish Avodah Zarah. Gaiva is mamish Avodah Zarah. Think about the biggest Bali gaiva ever. How about Haman? Haman made himself into Avodah Zarah. Paro made himself into Avodah Zarah. Paro is watching his entire country being destroyed before his eyes, and he won't accept it. That's gaiva. The only gaiva could cause such a stubborn nature of a person. Eventually God hardens his heart, but that ability to refuse in the face of that which is so obvious is because you're so self-absorbed. It's a gaiva. Ki inyan gaiva hu mamish avodah zarah. Ve'ein eitzel lihimalei mimenu el Hashem yizbarach ozer. The only way to save yourself is to what? Is to ask Hashem for help. But what that means is I'm at least submitting myself to someone. if not my neighbor, if not my parents, if not my children, if not my boss, right? If I walk around, I think I'm better than everyone I encounter. But there's one who I have to surrender to, and that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Va'arba meos pirkei de mesechas vodazar shal Avram Avinu hu me'inyan ha'gaiva. 400 chapters. There's plenty to write about gaiva. There's plenty to write about the destructive nature of this mitzvah. Ki gaiva mamish oved el nechar. Because the Baal Gaiva serves a foreign god. And who is that foreign god? V'hu atzmo, Avodah Zarah. He becomes the Avodah Zarah. He becomes the Avodah Zarah. He makes himself into that Avodah Zarah. What's the most remarkable thing that Hashem said in the Torah? I would say that arguably the most shocking thing that Hashem writes in his entire Torah are the two words, Na'ase Adam. Let us make man. Let us make man. Let us make man. The Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu is writing the Torah, and he says, Rabbono Shalom, you're out of your mind. Let us make man? What happened to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem? Echad. What happened to Ein Od Levado? What do you mean, let us make man? You know what everyone's going to say? They're going to say there are many gods. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, you write, because the heretics are going to do what they want to do anyways. If they want to mess around with my Torah, there'll be plenty of things that they can criticize and turn inside out and upside down with my Torah. But I realized today something very interesting. What was Hashem teaching? What is Na'ase Adam? A lot of ways to explain it. What's the simple pshat Na'ase Adam? Rashi says Hashem was teaching humility. Hashem was saying, talking to the angels, right? I think the Sfasemis says Hashem was talking to the entire creation, everything that preceded man, to the animals, to the birds, to the sun and the stars and the moon, right? To the waters. Hashem was inviting everyone to partner with him in creating man. And the lesson for us is that even God, kiviyachol, needs help. Even Hashem asks advice. So you should also have the humility to ask for help and to ask for advice. But isn't it interesting? What was Moshe's concern? Moshe says, Na'ase Adam, it's going to become Avodah Zarah. And Hashem says, but I'm teaching humility. What you see from this is that the antithesis, exactly what the Notzar Chesed is saying, exactly what the Kamar and Rebbe is saying, the opposite of humility is Avodah Zarah. That a person who's a Baal Gaiva, that is Avodah Zarah. So Hashem says, Moshe says, it's going to lead to Avodah Zarah. Hashem says, I'm teaching the thing that's going to respond to Avodah Zarah, and that's called humility. That even God says Na'ase Adam. Even God, even a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, asks for a little help. The most Gaivadic nation, right? The individuals we could point to, right? But the most Gaivadic nation who had one of the most Gaivadic people of all time was Haman HaRasha and the nation of Amalek. Amalek represents, again, that awesome degree of Gaiva. Rashis Goyim Amalek. They're the first ones to attack. The muscle of the hot bath that they cool down by jumping in, right? With no regard even for their own selves. But whatever it takes to cool off Klal Yisrael. Have the chutzpah that Amalek is the embodiment of. And that's why the Pasuk says about Amalek, Rashis Goyim Amalek, it's true, you're the first of nations, you think you're the best, but there's only one nation that we can say for sure is not going to make it. Achriso Ad Deoved, the nation that has to be destroyed. Because again, Gaiva is the most self-destructive thing in the world. So you can pump yourself up as much as you want, Amalek, but if there's one nation that we're confident is not going to make it to the end, it's you. And that Gaiva is what's going to destroy you. That Avodah Zarah. Haman made himself into Avodah Zarah. And looked to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. And the only one who got destroyed in the end was Haman himself. He destroyed himself. So I'll tell you an interesting remez. The Sfarim say, interesting gematria. The Sfarim say, again, that these words, Na'ase Adam, have actually a connection to Amalek. I always explain like this. You know, if I was doing a science experiment, and I wanted to understand something, so I could look at it with my naked eye, and I could understand so much about it. If I wanted to understand it better, if I wanted to analyze water a little bit deeper, I need to understand what H2O is. I have to break it down. I have to expand it. If I want to go even deeper, right? So then I have to take an apple seed, like some Italian scientists did a number of years ago, and I have to expand it. I have to extract the DNA to turn this, what appeared to be a tiny little seed, to turn it into a huge code, to expand, to stretch it out, to see what it's really made up of. The building blocks of creation are the letters. Brachos, daf, nun, hey, amud, aleph. Hashem created the world with letters. And therefore, if I want to analyze something, right, gematria is not a cute idea. Gematria is a scientific way of analyzing something. Water is H2O. Salt is NaCl. So Amalek is Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf. But if I want to really analyze Amalek, if I want to get into their DNA, I have to stretch it out. Right? The same way that I'm going to look at something under a microscope to see it more deeply. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say, what happens when you stretch out Amalek? You spell out the letters of Amalek. Ayin. Spell out the letter Ayin. Ayin Yud Nun. Right? Mem is spelled Mem Mem. Lamed is spelled Lamed Mem Dalet. Kuf. Kuf Vav Pei. When I stretch out Amalek, it's called Miloi. To see the expansion of that idea. The miloy of Amalek is 470. And the Sfarim say that's the same gematria as Na'ase Adam, let us make man. Because the pasuk in Kohelet says, for every, it's a scientific principle also, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Nasa Adam is God himself acting with humility. And Amalek looks to expand itself over the world. Amalek looks to fluff itself up, right? To always present itself as being the best and the strongest and the greatest. But I think it's more than just the Orchos Chaim of the Rush that begins with this reminder of the danger of Gaiva. And I think it's more than just the Ramban who highlighted this as maybe the most essential part of his letter, the essence of his letter. I think if you look in Chazal, Chazal also put Gaiva first, Gaiva and Anava first. If I want to learn Chazal's approach to ethics, it's Pirkei Avos. How does Pirkei Avos, does Pirkei Avos begin with humility? I think it does. How does Pirkei Avos begin? Moshe, Kibel, Torah, Misinai. Let's go one by one. Moshe, you've already said something humble. You've already started with the most humble thing that ever was. Moshe Rabbeinu, the most humble person that ever was. But I'll go a half a step further than that. Rav David Cohen from Brooklyn, in his sefer on Pirkei Avos called Toldos Shel Avos, Toldos and Shel Avos, he writes on page 3, he says, isn't it interesting that Moshe is not called Moshe Rabbeinu in the opening Mishnah? Avram is called Avram Avinu later on in the fifth parak. But part of what is highlighted by this opening Mishnah is that Moshe, because of his humility, because he wasn't always walking around, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, PhD, you know, with like 15 initials after his name. Right? He was just Moshe. He was just plain old Moshe. Chazal say that the greater the tzaddikim were in the olden days, the less titles they had. Hillel, Shammai, not even Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Shammai. Not Rabbi, not Rav, not Rabban. Right? The greater you are, you just went by your name. Moshe, Yoshua, right? I call him, okay, we call, out of respect, we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. But Rav David Cohen says, Chazal wrote Moshe here for a reason. They're teaching that it's Moshe's humility that makes him the one to receive the Torah. And it's really there's an even further level to it. Because even the word Moshe Rabbeinu is itself a humble statement. You know why? It's interesting. We always say, we always put the title of our people after their name. So we'll say Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen. Yeshaya HaNavi. We don't say HaNavi Yeshaya. Rabbeinu Moshe. HaKohen Aaron. We don't put the title first. The Maharal's brother, his name was Chaim. The Maharal's brother in his Sefer HaChaim writes that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe Rabbeinu, right, as opposed to Rabbi Moshe, Dr. Moshe, right, so-and-so Moshe, the reason that we put their name first and almost downplay their title is because that itself was humble. So even if we would have said Moshe Rabbeinu, we could have argued that's humble. It doesn't say Rabbeinu Moshe. But even more than that, he dropped the title completely in the opening Mishnah, as if to teach the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, that Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. It's Moshe in his humility. Look at the name Moshe. I was thinking about the name Moshe today. The name Moshe, what do you see? Mem, Shin, He. The most humble expression that a person could possibly use is to say Ma. Right? The word Tzadikim who said, Anochi Afar Ve'efer. Who said that? Avraham Avinu. David HaMelech says, right, Anochi Tolas, I'm a worm. But it's interesting. When Avram said, I'm dirt, I'm ashes, he said, I am dirt and ashes. When David HaMelech said, I am a worm, he still said, I. Moshe and Aaron, what do they say? V'nachnu ma, what are we? Right, we. They don't even talk in terms of I. There's no I. Tzadik doesn't say I. Tzadik always puts things in the third person. He doesn't refer to himself. Right? And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma. To say ma means what is it? V'nachnu ma, what am I? I can't even say, I'm not even a worm. I'm not even dirt. I'm less than everything. So the name Moshe is what? It's a mem and a hey on the outside. It's ma, the ultimate expression of humility. And the shin in the middle, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that the letter shin represents the three avos. There's a lot of Torah about that. The shin, the three prongs of the shin, are the three avos. As if Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, who am I? I'm ma. I'm nothing. If I have anything on the inside, it's only my inheritance from the avos. I'm a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but I have nothing of my own. That's Moshe's humility. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Let's keep going in the sentence, in the opening Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Many Sfarim ask, why does it say Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? Why doesn't it say Moshe Kibel Torah Bisinai? On our Sinai. Right? He got the Torah from Sinai? I thought he got the Torah from God. So the way that it's explained by the Kedushas Levi, and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parshas Vayakel, and the Avodas Yisrael, the Kajus Magid in Pirkei Avos, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner in his parish in Pirkei Avos, they all say the same thing. Four Tzaddikim, all with the same approach. Moshe Kibel Torah. You know why Moshe got the Torah? Mi Sinai. From the fact that he was like Sinai. From his comparison to Sinai, from his humility. If we know one thing, you stop a kid in the street, you say, why was Har Sinai chosen? Because it was a humble mountain. The Bava Trevi points out, it wasn't a valley, it was still a mountain. A Jew has to be a mountain, but you have to be a humble mountain. It'd be great, but you have to be a humbly great person. Right? But Moshe got the Torah mi Sinai, from the fact that he acted like Sinai. The gematria of Sinai, actually, with the kolel, is gematria anava. Sinai itself, the very name Sinai, implies a certain degree of humility. And even before that, in Pirkei Avos, we're already talking about humility. Let's go half a step back. Even before the opening mishnah, what do we always say before we begin Pirkei Avos? Ethics of the Fathers. This is the Musar statement of our Chazal. How do we begin? Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek li olam haba. Every Jew gets a chelek in olam haba. So let's learn a Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf peches. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, how do we know who's going to olam haba? How do you know if you're a ben olam haba? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's simple. If you're humble, you're going to olam haba. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek li olam haba. Every Jew has humility, and therefore every Jew is headed to olam haba. Because olam haba, the Maharal explains in his Sefer Nesiv HaNava, in the first parak, the Maharal says that Olam Haba is the most simple place in the world. Most wholesome and simple place in the world. So if you're a complicated person, if you've built this whole self-image for yourself, right, you it doesn't fit with Olam Haba. Olam Haba is mufshat. It's simplistic. It's stripped away from all of, again, it's like the matzah, which is flat and simple and humble. The Sfarim say, that's why if you take the word Anava, Anava is 131 in Gematria, plus the four letters, right? Oh, Anava, which we sometimes do in Ramazim. It's 135. It's Gematria Matzah. Because the Matzah is the ultimate expression of simplicity. Olam Haba is a simple place. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba. If you act with simplicity, and the Maharal actually himself makes that connection in the Gevuras Hashem in Perek Nun Aleph, right? That the Matzah itself teaches humility, which reminds us of Olam Haba. And that's what the Sfarim say. Anava with the four letters is Gematria Matzah. So we see that not only does the Ramban begin his letter with humility, not only does the Rush, one of the great Rishonim, begin his Musar treatise with humility, right? Chazal themselves in Pirkei Avos, Moshe is humility, and Kibbutz Torah Mi Sinai is humility. But let's go one half step further. Still have 5 minutes left. Maybe the Torah itself starts off with humility. Can we argue that the Torah itself, the opening lesson of the Torah, is humility? I think you can maybe make a case. The Torah begins with the word Bereishis. Bereishis. Yeah. There's many different interpretations of Bereishis. Rashi says Bishvil, the Torah, which is called Reishis, and Bishvil Yisrael, which is called Reishis. But there are other midrashim. You know what else is called Reishis? Bikurim is called Reishis. Okay. Bikurim is the lesson in humility. Bikurim means that after working so hard to produce these fruit, my first fruits go to Hashem. And you know what else they say in the midrash? Bereishis, Bishvil Moshe, Shenikra Reishis. Moshe in Chumash Devarim is referred to as Reishis. So therefore, if the Torah starts with the word Bereishis, which is really just a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu, or a remez to Bikurim, again, you could argue, once again, that the Torah itself is beginning with this lesson of humility. The Ramban said that the root of all midos tovos is anava, is distancing oneself from gaiva. Let's answer a very famous question of Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital wondered, in his Shari Kedusha, you look through the Torah, there's a lot of ben adam l'chavero, that I'll give you, but there aren't really midos that are mitzvos. There's no mitzvah in the Torah. There's no pasuk in the Torah, right? Be happy. There's no pasuk in the Torah that specifically talks about particular midos. Is there a pasuk in the Torah that says don't be a bal gaiva, be humble? It tells us Moshe was humble, right? But the Rav Chaim Vital said it's strange that we don't find at least an extensive amount of midos that are presented clearly as mitzvos in the Torah. And you think that there would be. Midos are an essential part of our lives. So Rav Chaim Vital gives the classic and famous answer, which is what? Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. That all the midos that a Jew has to have are a prerequisite for Torah. We don't even begin to open the Torah until you have those midos. Okay, that's a possible answer. But I'll tell you a different approach. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, Rav Moshe Mikutzi, in the 1200s, was writing a list of the 613 mitzvahs. And he writes a remarkable thing. This is what he writes in the Sefer. In Mitzvahs Lo Sase, number 64. He says, when I finished writing my Sefer, Kishigati Lahashlim Adkan Halavin, I was finishing the section of the 365 Lo Sases, and all of a sudden, Ekra b'chalom b'maris halayla, had a dream. He writes in the Sefer. I had a dream. I was putting together my list of mitzvahs, and I had a dream. Hinei shachachta es ha'ikar. I was told in my dream, 365 mitzvahs, and you missed the main one. You missed the main mitzvah. And what was revealed to him in his dream? He shamer lecha pentishkach es Hashem. Be careful that you never chas v'shalom forget about a Kadosh Baruch. So he writes, Vesponanti alav baboker, I woke up in the morning and I thought about it, and I realized, you know what? Shemayim is right. The heavens are correct. Yeah. I started to think, and I realized, yes, the Gemara in Sotan daf Hayamad Aleph, of course. The Gemara says, Azhara legase ruach minayin. Where is there a pasuk that says Azhara? Azhara means a mitzvah, losase. Where is there a warning in the Torah? Don't be a Baal Gaiva. He shamer lecha pentishkach as Hashem Elokecha. Or how about the pasuk v'ram levavcha v'shachach as Hashem Elokecha? You'll be haughty in your heart. You'll come to forget God. What's the word the Torah uses for Gaiva? Ram. Ram levavcha. What's the gematria of Ram? 240 gematria of Malik. Because again, a Malik is that embodiment of Gaiva. V'ram levavcha v'shachach as Hashem Elokecha. You become a Baal Gaiva and you'll forget about Hashem. So he said, you know what? I recalculated and I decided mitzvah number 64 is the mitzvah of don't be a Baal Gaiva. But let's add a little bit to it. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin writes in the Sefer Machshavos Chorutz. How are we doing for Maariv here? You guys are in for Maariv? Who likes just to get a count out? Who's in for Maariv? Just by a show of hands? Okay, we're pretty close. Maybe we'll recruit one or two people. Is that possible? Sorry. So Rav Tzadok writes in Machshavos Chorutz. Rav Tzadok says, everything written by a Rishon up to a certain point, to decide where that cutoff point is written with a degree of Ruach HaKodesh. Which means that if a certain halacha falls out in a certain chapter in Shulchan Aruch, there's a reason it's in that chapter. There's a reason that it's in that chapter. Yep. And the same thing is true maybe with the Minyan HaMitzvos. And if a certain topic falls out in a certain Masechta, there's a reason it's there. It's not tangential. It's not tangential that it talks about Avram Avinu's Bris Milah and Maseches Nedarim. It's not tangential that it talks about the Man at the end of Maseches Yoma. All these things have deep reasons behind it. And even the numbers, he says, even the simin, the chapter number, that a particular halacha falls out in, there's a reason for it. So I would like to suggest, why is it that the smag, when he recalculated all the mitzvahs, he said, you know what, mitzvah number 64? That's the mitzvah of don't be a Baal Gaiva. Here's what I think the answer is. What's another word for Gaiva? Right? The Gemara itself said, Azhara le gasei ruach, a person who's gas. Gas is a person who's inflated, a person who's haughty. Yeah? The Gemara says in Sota on Daf Hayam and Aleph, a Talmud Chacham, a person who actually deserves a little kavod, right? As Hashem Elokecha Tira, Es L'Rabos Tamidei Chachamim, they deserve a little honor, a little respect. A Talmud Chacham is allowed to have an eighth of an eighth of Gaiva, the Gemara says. A Shemona Shebishminis, an eighth of an eighth of Gaiva, 1/64 of a portion of Gaiva you're allowed to have. So I saw on a Sefer called Otrosayim Shel Tzadikim, he said, that's why we call about Gaiva a Gas. The Gematria of Gas is 63. 1/64 you're allowed to have. But if you have the other 63 portions, you're a Baal Gaiva. But I think, now you can easily suggest, that why did it end up that the smag put the mitzvah of don't be a Baal Gaiva in mitzvah 64? Because 64 is the magic number, so to speak, when it comes to Gaiva. That a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have maybe 1/64, a tiny, tiny bit of Gaiva in order to defend his kavod, to defend his Torah. Right? But anything more than that is not allowed.
Is a surgeon allowed to say the same thing?
Good question.
I hear.
I think it's a special heter for a Talmud Chacham because he represents Elokus. He represents Ruchnius. But let's finish the point. Right, here's the last point. Rav Chaim Vital said, why aren't mitzvos in the Torah? So Rav Avram Shor writes in one of his svarim from Tavshin Samach Aleph, he says the following. He says it's simple now. If we believe what we learned tonight, what the Ramban taught us, that the root of all mitzvos, of all midos, is what? Is anava and gaiva. And now the smag told us that there is one midah that actually is a mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah of don't be a Baal Gaiva. That makes it onto the books. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. If I believe that that's the seed, so to speak, from which all midos sprout, then we have a very different answer to the question. Why does the Torah not talk about all the various midos a person needs to have? It does talk about one, and that's the only one you need. Ram levavcha v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. Don't be a Baal Gaiva. Be a person of humility. Walk in the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu in that way, and then a person will be protected. I'll just conclude with one final halacha. Because it's interesting to point out that the Bartanura begins his commentary on Pirkei Avos by saying, don't read Pirkei Avos and thinking that it's just a bunch of nice ideas. It's a book of halacha. These are Jewish halachos. These are principles of Jewish living. Bartanura says these are halachos. So isn't it interesting, again, that Pirkei Avos starts off with the ultimate halacha? The halacha of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Moshe's humility. That's the ultimate halacha. If you know that, then you'll be a mensch, you'll be a ben Torah, you'll be a fine person in all of the various midos of the Torah. Open up a Shulchan Aruch and you'll see with your own eyes. You'll take a look. In the second simon of the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber says, it's usser. He doesn't say it's a midah chasidus, it's a midah tova. Usser to walk with an outstretched neck. It's usser to walk like a Baal Gaiva. Oh, and it's also the practice to cover your head with a yarmulke. The Marashal, in the Shilas and Chuvas of the Marashal, in Simon Ayin Beis, he says the following, and this is the last line I'm going to read tonight. He says, notice that it says, it's usser to be a Baal Gaiva, and it's a practice to wear a yarmulke. Says the Marashal some very fiery words. He's writing to the people in his time. He says, nowadays it's just the opposite. He says, now it's the Shulchan Aruch says it's usher to walk around like a bald guy with an outstretched neck. Everyone does that. No one pays attention to that. These rich people flaunting their money, walking around like they're the king of the world. Uvegilei Rosh, but covering their heads. Oh, that they're very machpel. That they would never do. Uvegilei Rosh is harim. Lo machpas chasidus, el sovrim das yehudisi. They think that's an absolute halacha. Guess what, says the Marashal? You people got it backwards. Wearing a yarmulke is secondary. Right? The yarmulke is supposed to remind you not to walk around with an outstretched neck. But if you walk around with an outstretched neck and you have a yarmulke on your head, you haven't learned anything. Right? You're like that example that the Saba of Kelm, the altar of Kelm said, like a person who's studying these midos in a theoretical way but hasn't dug deep into one's heart. So Mirtza Hashem, we should try hard to internalize this midah. It's the root of all midos. It's a mitzvah in the Torah according to the Smag, mitzvah number 64. And Mirtza Hashem, if we can hold on to this in a real way, to deepen our commitment to being humble people, in all the ways that the Ramban described in his level, how a humble person walks around. A humble person doesn't flaunt himself. A humble person doesn't put himself out there. Then Amir Hashem will be zochet to have all the midos of a Torah Jew, and a Kodesh Baruch will be very proud in each and every one of us. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for coming.